watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chatters. It's watch with mothers. It's watch with mothers. Right, hello listeners. Welcome to the latest Watch with Mothers podcast. I'm here with a Napoleon who is apologetic, I hope.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about that. Hello!
Yeah, what are you sorry about?
We were supposed to record this at 10 o'clock in the morning, and for some weird reason, I slept through my alarm and woke up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, like a teenager.
Yeah, it's the start of a rocky road, isn't it?
Well, do you think I'm going to go eventually down the pad? I'll start drinking bottles of white cider, appear on Tricia, and eventually they'll just find me as a liquid in my own home.
It's more of a relapse than a descent, isn't it?
Well, yeah, this is what I used to be like, and all of a sudden I appear to be like it again, which I don't want because I'm supposed to be all grown up and responsible now. I mean, people my age have got children.
Yeah, well, that's true. You do need to look out, mate, because I don't want you waking up at 1 o'clock and making me late for everything I want to do.
I do apologise that I'm interfering with your life.
Yeah, well, I should think so too.
Yeah, bloody hell, fire. Sorry about that. Sorry that my life is now ruled by you. I don't know, when did you become my boss, you bastard?
Well, I sort of am your boss,
aren't I? Yeah, sort of, technically, but that's neither here nor there. Bloody shouting at me, I mean, this is like being at work, this.
But it's good to see you back. It's been a while since we've done one of these.
It has a bit, hasn't it? Well, you and Pete did one, didn't you? And then it's now me and you. So, it's a different thing. What's today's topic, by the way? We haven't discussed that, have we? Because you've been too busy chastising me.
Today's topic was decided by you in one of your more enlightened moments, so
yes.
Feel free to tell us what it is.
Well, the other week we discussed the moments that cheapened television over the years on the Friday question, so we thought we'd take a look at that today by reading out some of what the readers suggested and then analysing them. Is that the right word? Analysing them?
Well, hopefully it will reach that peak, yeah.
Sounds vaguely intellectual.
Well, last time it was just us trying desperately to remember the names of people in science fiction shows, so we might bypass that this time.
Yeah, that didn't work, really. The whole I do apologise for the science fiction one. That was appalling. If you're a science fiction fan, I mean, you must have walked away from that just thinking, you pair of cocks.
Well, actually, looking at the stats, we got a link from a website called Gallifrey Base.
Really?
Which I believe is a Doctor Who fan site.
Right.
But I couldn't get in because I'm not a member of that forum and they wouldn't accept my entrance. Obviously, it's some sort of elite Doctor Who crew.
Yeah, you've got to know a hell of a lot about Doctor Who. For instance, you've got to know all the lyrics to Doctor Who's on the Toilet. You've got to know all of the names of the doctors from, let's not start that again, but there was quite a few, wasn't there? And I don't think we actually named them correctly. That's probably why. You've probably been banned. Your IP address has been banned.
Probably. There was Colin Baxter.
There was Colin Taylor from Queen.
Yeah.
The killer Barry George. No, you see, if we do this, I think actually we should lay both Colin Taylor and the killer Barry George to rest. Because right. I've become now obsessed with Barry George to the extent that I'm thinking of shooting him on his doorstep, and you keep ruining Queen.
We've got that on tape now about Barry George, but maybe we should press on.
Okay, shall I start off with a song? Right, here we go. We had a lovely day on a wedding day, but then the wife caught dysentery and passed away.
Well, that's the song, is it?
Right, that's the song, yeah. I say, it's only a short one. Did you like that?
It was. It was just a couplet, really.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it starts off quite nicely, but then it's a tragedy.
Yeah, it's got a twist in the tail.
It has, yeah, when she gets dysentery, which nobody wants, especially your new bride. I mean, that'd be terrible. And then she dies.
Yeah, on the wedding day as well. It's meant to be the happiest day of your life.
Well, I didn't specify that it was on the wedding day. It could have been on the honeymoon.
Oh, I missed that, sorry.
Yeah, well, no, we had a lovely day on our wedding day, but then the wife caught dysentery and passed away. So, I mean, that could be they're in Barbados, they're having a lovely time, and then she gets raging diarrhoea and it kills her.
It could be a flash forward several years down the line. There may have been many years of happiness in
there
between.
There could have been, actually. I mean, yeah, I think if we think of it like that, they had a lovely married life, but then she died of dysentery at the end.
Right, we'll do that then. Shall we move on?
Yeah, fuck it.
Speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers.
So I'm going first, am I?
Yeah.
Right, okay, my first one comes from Pilchard, surprisingly enough. I think for this question he wrote about 7,000 entries, so well done with that, Pilchard. You've obviously not got a job.
Hello, Pilchard.
Hello, Pilchard. Hello, Mel.
Hey. Hello, Mel.
Right, yeah, so Pilchard has written, I think the deregionalisation of the ITV system into the monolith we have today was a dreadful decision. Comedy gold!
Well, yeah, is that something? When did they do that, then?
I think they did it, was it at the tail end of the 80s? I think it was one of them Thatcher things, you know, where she was trying to... Well, we had a country that sort of worked, didn't we? Mm. And then she came along like that and ruined it all by flogging everything and breaking everything up. I think if anything was working, the idea was to break it all up and fuck it up. I think that was the system that Thatcher brought in.
Right.
Yeah,
so that was in the manifesto, was it?
I think it was, you know, may have been at the back near the toilets, but I don't think it was up there on the first page. You know, whether she was banging about. Fed a cheeseburger to his daughter?
Yeah, Selwyn Gummer was it?
Was it John Selwyn Gummer? Was it? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with beef. Here, eat this, and it turns out it was riddled with CJD.
Yeah, that was busy. Busy trying to make us eat beef and stop us eating eggs, as I recall.
Stop us eating eggs, yeah, because they were riddled with salmonella.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, at the same time they were doing all that, they were smashing up ITV with a big hammer, a big Tory hammer.
So what does that mean? Does that mean there's no central television? I don't actually watch ITV, so I missed all of this.
No, what happened was, yeah, you used to have all of these things. You used to have Anglia TV, didn't you? Anglia was the one who they'd spent a lot of money on their ident, hadn't they? Because they'd been to an antiques fair and they'd bought a silver knight on a horse. Mm. And they filmed it slowly revolving round and round. You used to get it at the beginning of Sail of the Century with Nicholas Parsons.
There was Granada as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was Granada. Hang on, wasn't that LWT?
Could well have been.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there was LWT, and there was Thames Television, wasn't there, and Yorkshire TV, all of that. But then they all seemed to... I think that was the birth of Carlton Television, Meridian, and all that lot. I think they got the franchises a bit like when they fucked up the trains.
Oh, this politics stuff is going right over my head.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I've picked the wrong one here, really, haven't I? Because this is actually a serious subject, and we're supposed to be being hilarious. It's very difficult to be hilarious about the breaking up of the ITV system. I've just realised that.
It's not a very sexy word. Deregionalisation doesn't fill me full of spunk.
What up?
What up?
What up? You see, if he'd have written that, I think the deregionalisation of the ITV system into the monolith that we have today was a dreadful decision. What up? Like that would have been better.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, because you'd be sat at the end of it thinking, oh, God, Jesus, this is one of the most boring sentences ever. Oh, hello. What's that at the end? What up? What's that mean? All of a sudden, it's opened up an entire new region of mystery that you didn't think was there before. Well done, Pilchard.
Yeah, good work on that, Pilchard. I mean, he might have a point. I just have no idea if he has a point or not.
I think he does, because what I think he's on about is that it was all right in the old days, but it's not now.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's what he means. Whereas, in fact, it actually wasn't all right in the old days. ITV was shit, and it always has been shit, I think, to be honest. I mean, he's come up with the odd decent thing. Inspector Morse was all right.
Yeah, it's got the odd jewel in its crown. Burp is the obvious one at the moment.
Jewel in the Crown.
Yeah, that was a film, wasn't it?
It was a three-part TV show, wasn't it? All set in the British Raj. You probably wouldn't be allowed to show it now. I assume it was racist. I can't actually remember it, really. I mean, they did that other one, Brideshead Revisited, which seemed to be about two wispy people and a teddy bear.
That's based on a book, isn't it?
Is it? Probably. I don't read those sorts of books. Those sorts of books are the books that they made you read at school.
Yeah, and university.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I swore blind I'd never read another one of those sort of books the moment I left school. I mean, I remember when I was at school saying, look, you want me to read, I can't remember what it was now, probably a Thomas Bloody Hardy, you know what I mean? One of them pieces of shit. And I remember saying to the Reverend Derek Scarborough, saying to him at the time, look, why can't I read this? And I had the book adaptation of the film The Wild Geese 2. And apparently I couldn't do an essay on that. Oh, no, I had to do one on Thomas Bloody Hardy. Far From the Madding Crowd, I think that was it.
But hang on, you say those sorts of books, do you just mean old books?
Old book, old classic books. The missus reads loads of them, yeah?
Well, Thomas Hardy did do some good stuff, though.
Well, what did he do? He did Mill on the Floss, he did...
Judy Obscure?
Tess of the D'Urbervilles, that's all right, but she gets killed. Well, she gets hanged at the end, doesn't she? Well, that's spoiled it for everybody, isn't
it? Yeah, that's a spoiler.
Shit, sorry about that. Can we... I'll say, warning, contains spoilers.
After the event.
Back then in the past. So if you've got to that bit and you think, you bastard, you just ruined the end of Tess of the D'Urbervilles. I said, I'm very sorry, but you should listen to the fucking spoilers, shouldn't you?
So have we come to any conclusion about the deregionalisation of ITV?
Well, I mean, I think I agree with the first bit, but I certainly agree with the last wah bit, whatever that means.
That bit is definitely true.
Yeah, I agree with that bit. I don't know why. Goodbye.
What up?
What up?
Father, is there anywhere on the internet I could go for informative television reviews?
Yes, my boy, there is. It's called Watch With Mothers. You'll find it incredibly informative, despite the fact that it's written by the mentally challenged.
Thank you, Father.
Right, it's my go now.
Is it you now?
Yeah.
You big Wally. Is it you? You wazzock?
What's with that? Why?
I'm just getting in the mood. In the mood. You wazzock, see?
Is that the James Miller band?
That's James Miller. It was Glenn Miller. I don't know who James Miller was.
Oh, he did The Pompatus of Love, didn't he, James Miller?
No. That was some people called the Steve Miller Band.
Yeah, Lee Harvey Oswald or something.
Not Lee Harvey Oswald. He's the bloke that allegedly killed John F. Kennedy. There is no James Miller. This is Colin Taylor all over again.
Let's just move. Let me have a go anyway. It's my go.
All right, go on then.
Sorry about that.
Who are you doing?
Eh?
Who are you doing?
Right, I've got a suggestion here from Pilchard.
Pilchard again.
Yeah, good old Pilchard. He suggested the introduction of the lottery draw into the BBC schedules.
Right, with Noel Edmonds.
Was it him who fronted it in the
first place? Yeah, the first ever one was presented by Noel Edmonds, because at the time he was the Saturday night big gun. He was the canon of the BBC. And after that, it was presented by Anthea Turner and Gordon Kennedy off of... was it Absolutely he used to be in?
The big Scotsman?
Yeah, the big Scotch fella.
The cost-cutter Robbie Coltrane?
Yeah, that fella. Was it Absolutely he was a member of, or was it Naked Video?
No, it was Absolutely.
Was it Absolutely, yeah. Well, it was him. And at the time, I was thinking, what's he doing presenting this? He's not a... He's not one of them. He's not like Anthea Turner or Carol Smiley.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was him. But it was Edmonds only did it one night.
Right, just to get everyone into it.
To get everybody in the mood. And, I mean, I assume at the time they thought, right, we'll get Edmonds on there. Paul Daniels is ill, so we can't have him. So we'll get Edmonds. And everybody will think, oh, well, if it's Edmonds that's presenting it. Because it adds an air of legitimacy, I think. If you've got an Edmonds or a Wogan or a Daniels... Or a Savile. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, lending an air of legitimacy to something which is gambling with far worse odds.
Exactly, yeah. But it does make it legitimate in a way that if you'd had an Henry or a Sale or an Elton, you'd think, no, don't like this. I'm not. Yeah, this is a bit too left field for me. I don't like this idea. I'd prefer it if there was somebody a bit more mainstream. I'm not going to trust it. I'm not buying a ticket. They'd have fucked up the lottery if they'd have had Ben Elton presenting it from the beginning. That's my theory.
You'd think all your money was going to communism or something.
You would, yeah. Communism and those awful cars they used to build and radios made out of potassium. Whatever they used to do in the Soviet Union, you'd assume, oh, right, hello, it's Alexei Sale, is it? Fair enough, yeah, I know what's happening here. I'm putting money in Lenin's pockets.
That's what would happen.
Yeah.
But you play the lottery, don't you?
I do, I play it every week because I have hopeless dreams of becoming a millionaire.
Well, maybe if you knuckled down and did some work and didn't sleep until 1 p.m, then that might happen.
Well, I mean, that's the other way of looking at it, but I'd rather win loads of money for doing absolutely nothing whatsoever.
So you've been playing it every week. How many tickets do you buy a week?
I buy a couple of tickets, lucky dips. So I'm doing a very clever thing of asking a machine to pick a load of numbers and then another machine to pick the same numbers on the same day.
Right.
Yeah, so far I've not won anything. I've not even won. Do you know how most people go, oh, yeah, I've won the odd tenner. It's like my mum plays a lottery every week, and virtually every week she wins 10 quid, without fail.
Yeah.
Me, I've won nothing, not a bean. So, I mean, it's been running since, it was John Major's government that brought it in, wasn't it, the National Lottery?
Well, it must have been approaching 15 years ago, yeah, so I would have thought so.
Yeah, so for 15 years... I've played the lottery and I've won nothing whatsoever. So how do you like them odds?
Well, 52 weeks times £2 times 15. What's
right.
that?
Now we're moving into the realm of maths.
Well, if you
we need an egghead, we need a boffin. Is there a boffin in the house?
We don't need a boffin. Just get a piece of paper, a pencil. I'll put some incidental music in here.
Okay, right. Hold on. So what am I doing?
15.
15, right?
Times 52.
Times how do you do times is?
That's the cross, like an X.
Right, times 52. Right, and what am I doing now?
Times £2.
Times shit, that's adding another thing. That's adding an integer, isn't it? Is that what it is? No. There'll be a mathematician listening to this. That's not a fucking integer, you dumb bastard. Anyway, right. 15 times 52 times £2. Where do I go from here?
Well, you could times the 15 by 2 and you've got 30.
Right, okay, I've written 30 down. Yep.
Right. So 30 times 52, you could times the 52 by 10 and then by 3.
30 times 10, that's £3,000, is it?
No. Times 52 by 30.
30 times 52?
Hang on, where did we get the 30 from?
You said to times 15 by 2 and get 30. I've written 30 down.
Yeah, so then it's 30 times 52.
30 times 52, yeah, which is, well, I don't know how much that is.
It's 5,200 times 3.
5,200 times 3. Well, right, so that's 15,000 plus 3. Hold on, 15,000 plus 3 2s. 2, 4, 6. 15,000. So I've spent 15,600 quid on fucking lottery tickets and won nothing.
It's a mug's game.
Jesus! I could have bought a car for that.
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy sounds of Watch With Mugs. Here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep or perhaps masturbate. Watch With Mugs.
Right, okay. My next one is from Do I Not Like That? The football obsessed freak.
Mikey.
Is that who he is? He's Mikey as well.
He used to be Mikey, but then he changed his name.
All right. Hello, Mikey.
Hello.
Right, anyway, his idea of when television was cheapened is the presenters are far too familiar these days. I agree with that.
He's spot on with this, I think.
I think he is. I think the moment they stop being cold and distant and start going through, hello, welcome to BBC One, hello, we're your friends. You know, as opposed to, good morning, my name's Mr. Wilson, here is the news.
Well, you know, personally... my take on it is, I turn on the TV, they have no idea who they're talking to. Her Majesty the Queen might have just turned on the TV and you've got Steve Jones going, "Hey, how you doing? Good morning to ya.
Okay, how's everybody going this morning? You're okay?" And you're thinking, yeah, exactly. And first off, they could be addressing, I don't know, they could be addressing a murderer.
Yeah.
And yet they're that familiar.
They could be someone sitting there masturbating and they're basically encouraging them.
I've done that.
Over who?
I wouldn't like to say, really. Susanna Reid.
It's a bit early for that, isn't it?
Well, not really, you know. The curtains are closed. It's the morning.
Right, but quickly moving on from your trousers around your ankles.
In the morning, Susanna Reid.
Yeah, the morning light peeking through the window shade.
Yeah, look, making sure the milkman's not looking through the window. What's he doing in there? Dropping his milk in a comical fashion all over my dog shit strewn garden.
He's not the only one dropping his milk.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've got so much dog shit in my garden, I'm thinking of making it a tourist attraction. Come and see the magical land of dog shit. I could charge money. Oh, Mum, it's horrible. I know, look. Look, that one's gone white and that one's got a mushroom growing out of it.
But TV presenters are a bit familiar.
They are these days, I agree with that.
So I think the best example is T4. Do you ever watch T4?
Occasionally, because they show that bloody Superman show on there, I've been forced to, yes. So, I mean, most of them seem like monged out, drugged up idiots. There's one that speaks with a northern accent like that, and he's a right fucking wally. You know what I mean?
Is that Grimmy, Nick Grimshaw?
It might be. He speaks like that. Is he the one that speaks like that?
He looks like a sort of 14-year-old. He looks like he should be in a blazer and short trousers.
Yeah, I mean, the way he talks, up north, that's the sort of character he used to refer to in a bit of a, you know, in a whisper, as a bit daft.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by that you meant mentally ill.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what he comes across as. He comes across as, well, just stupid, daft.
Yeah, you've got Daft Grimmy, and you've also got Makita Oliver, who I don't know why she bothered getting out of her pyjamas, because she might as well be...
That's not a name. That's not a name.
What, Makita Oliver?
Yeah, girls are called Charlotte, Sarah, Catherine, you know what I mean? They're not called Makita, that's not a name.
I'm not sure if it's because of her exotic ethnic origin, or if it's to do with her parents being extremely rich, one of the two.
Right, I didn't realise. I didn't realise she was from abroad.
Ah, there you go.
She doesn't sound like she is.
Well, no, she sounds quite plummy and posh.
Sounds like a wazzock.
She does sound like a wazzock. And like I was saying, she sounds like she's literally just rolled out of bed.
She does, yeah. And so does that other one, the black girl that you like and I can't stand. What's her name?
What, Sarpong?
Yeah, the one that sounds like a strung-out heroin addict.
Yeah, I don't know what it is that she does for me, but she tweaks something deep within my soul.
Well, I'm assuming you're on about your knob.
I said deep within my... What up?
What up?
I said deep within my soul. I didn't mention my physical attributions.
Right, so you're not sat there on a Sunday watching T4 with the sound down, listening to Vanilla Ice at the back, wanking away, thinking, oh yeah, Makita Vanilla.
We're talking about Sarpong, not Makita.
Oh shit, no, sorry, yeah, no, well, scratch that.
Well, whether or not I'm having a Susanna Reid over Jean Sarpong is beside the point.
And Vanilla Ice.
Why would I have a Susanna Reid over Vanilla Ice?
Cooking MCs like a pound of bacon.
True, that is true, actually.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be one of the best lyrics ever in any song ever. In fact, I noticed that Vanilla Ice turned up on the Friday question that day.
Was that actually Vanilla Ice?
I think it may have been Vanilla Ice. He appeared to be begging for £2.
Right. Last time I saw him, he was in The Farm.
The Farm? What was The Farm?
It was a Channel 5 reality show in which Rebecca Lewes masturbated a pig.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah, that appeared to be the only interesting thing about that show, was some woman wanking off a pig. I don't even know who's Rebecca Lewes.
She slept with David Beckham behind.
Oh, her! I know what you mean now. Yeah, well, it wasn't that allegedly, though. Did she actually sleep with David Beckham?
Well, she was going around saying it very loudly, so I don't think it's allegedly, because they would have sued her if it wasn't true.
Yeah, but, I mean, was David Beckham's tiny little brain capable of forming enough shapes in there to make him have an affair?
Well, I presume that his groin is more advanced than his brain and would have been up for it.
Well, so she came up and said, hello, my name's Rebecca. And he said, hello, my name's David. Are we having an affair now?
Something like that, yeah.
Hello. Do you remember that advert where you had a load of football stars, one of which was David Beckham, and they were all dressed as cowboys, really cool cowboys in the Wild West. Mm. And they're like, you know, that spaghetti Western music going on. And they all march into the saloon looking dead cool. Right up until the moment David Beckham goes, Pepsi. And that fucks it all up. Mm. You know, you can't imagine Clint Eastwood sounding like that, can you?
No, he's not really cut out for the Wild West. He'd have got trampled within seconds.
He would have done, yeah. Hey, Blondie. You come over here, you and my friend, Pepsi. No, fuck that, I shoot you.
What are we talking about again?
We're supposed to be talking about how presenters are far too familiar these days, but somehow you've led us down an alleyway.
Yeah, sorry about that. Who else have we got then? We've got familiar presenters. We've got JLC, Justin Lee Collins, and his friend Alan Carr.
Right, can you hear that my telephone's ringing?
Yeah, you really should have turned that off, shouldn't you?
This could possibly be the French. Again, the French. Do you know that I'm being rung up all the time by the French?
No.
Yeah, the French ring me up every single day.
Well, you better answer it, hadn't you?
Well, Oh, no, it's Sky TV. They're ringing me up about me telly. I got this hideous diarrhea.
Like to put forward the motion suggested by Clary's mam.
Clary's mam?
That here's exactly what she said verbatim.
The lush.
Telly went thoroughly wrong when they started giving everyone exactly what they wanted instead of making them wait, building up a little excitement and anticipation.
I completely agree with that. It's like Christmas every day on telly nowadays and it's rubbish.
Exactly. You can sit if you're that way inclined and watch Top Gear literally all day long.
Which, I mean, for a lot of us, that is our Sunday now. It's nothing to do with God or getting up early and doing the DIY. It's about 15 hours of back-to-back Top Gear.
Yeah, and if you think about it, you would have had to have waited until, what is it, Saturday or Sunday
afternoon? Sunday, yeah.
Sunday early evening. But these days, it's the equivalent of either going to the pub for a couple of pints on a Friday night or spending all of Monday smacked up on the sofa.
Well, that's it. And I think the other one as well that I think maybe Clary's mam is alluding to is the idea that nowadays you can watch a TV show and then immediately flick over to a sister channel to watch next week's show. And you never used to get that, did you? You never used to be allowed to see a bit more TV if you were in the privileged position of having digital television.
No, it's true. And, well, I suppose a good example is you watch The Apprentice. And instead of having the water cooler moment at work or even a chat about it with your spouse, you can just flick over the channel and watch them all talking about it.
On Your Fired, yeah. That's right. Every show, every big show now has to have a show that follows it immediately, usually on a different channel, where they're all sitting around talking about it. So talking about the thing you've just watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't like that. I mean, luckily for me, I don't get to watch The Apprentice, You're Fired, because, thank God, Desperate Housewives is on after The Apprentice, so I don't have to watch You're Fired because of Desperate Housewives. Phew!
Do you sit down in front of Desperate Housewives?
No, I have a bath.
Yeah, that's probably the best option.
It's the only option I've got. I mean, it's either watch Desperate Housewives and feel my brain rotting away, because it's not for me, or have a bath. And so I choose that option. I tend to sit in the bath, I listen to Radio 4. Sorry to sound posh.
That is a bit posh.
Well, yeah, sorry to be a bit posh, but I'm not like certain people who boast about listening to Radio 4. I just happen to listen to it because the news is on.
If you were in London, you see, you could listen to LBC or I suppose you could listen to Five Live and listen to people spouting nonsense.
Well, I could actually, believe it or not, listen to these radio stations up north because I've got digital radio.
There you go. Why don't you listen to LBC? It's quite amusing sometimes.
I don't really want to listen to that. I tend to either listen to the Radio 4 or switch over to BBC 7, which is usually playing old comedy shows from the 1980s starring Andy Hamilton.
Who's Andy Hamilton?
He's the wee little munchkin, Andy Hamilton. He's like he's got no neck. Oh, God, is he disabled?
Moving on. So, hang on, that's bad, though, because then you've got all the comedy you want at your disposal while you're in the bath.
While I'm in the bath. Well, I don't tend to actually... I mean, I say I'm listening to the news. What I'm actually doing is I'm reading and ruining a library book by... Because I have me baths. I have man baths. I don't have woman baths or normal baths, child baths. I have man baths. So, the temperature's about 3,000 degrees centigrade. They take me half an hour to get in because it's that hot and I'm hurt. I'm actually burning my skin as I'm getting in. You're getting in the bath, as each extremity is lowered into the water, the boiling water.
What I'm thinking is, surely your feet are the first to go, then your legs, and then the only thing that comes next is the scrotum.
Is the balls, and that's always a moment of a baptism of fire for me, as the balls slowly lower. Sorry about this, ladies, but, it has to be said, a man bath is one of life's most painful, it's torture. But once you finally got used to it, after about half an hour of searing agony, you could then sit there sweating like a pig all over a library book.
What library book are we talking?
Well, at the moment, I'm reading one about 1603, the year.
Right.
It's actually quite interesting if you're interested in that sort of thing, which I'd say 90% of the population isn't.
Right, better not dwell on that.
Yeah,
then.
But anyway, so I'm reading and I'm half listening to either the news or Andy Hamilton, and that's it. That gets me out of Desperate Housewives. How did we move on to? How did we get into this? This isn't anything.
I don't know.
This is nothing to do with the topic, which I've even. What is the topic? I've forgotten.
Chloe's mum mentioning that telly went thoroughly wrong when they started giving everyone exactly what they wanted instead of making them wait. Building up a little excitement and anticipation, which made them go to the bath and lower their scrotum into a boiling hot vat of water.
I agree with absolutely everything she says. And that's unusual, because I don't usually agree with Clary's mum. On a point of principle, actually.
Oh, what with mothers? What with mothers? No. Yes? What with mothers? What with mothers? I will watch with others.
And it's your go now.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Right, my next one's from Pete.
Who's that?
Pete? Hey, some fella who comes on. Some fella from London. He's obsessed with Wades and he doesn't like the Tories, etc. You know him.
Yeah, I remember the one.
Yeah, he eats weeds. He eats weeds for a living. And then gushes about those weeds. Says they're sensational. No, they're not the weeds. Anyway... No right to reply, so lovely. I win. So his suggestion was highway. He did actually write more than that, but I only wrote down highway.
What, the Harry Secombe?
Yeah, do you remember highway? It was one of those things that spoiled your Sunday. Back in the day when you had three TV channels, well, four, let's add Channel 4, because that came out in 1982, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was around. But you had four TV channels. One of them was showing songs of fucking praise, and on the other side, ITV, the big gun, you had Harry Secombe on Highway.
Well, whichever one copied the other one probably did so because they were getting good ratings, it's not cheapening the medium, is it?
Well, it is, because there was no need for it. It was unnecessary to have two religious singing shows, and I think what Pete was driving at was it cheapened Harry Secombe. It left him, as he went towards his dotage... He wasn't the kind of, oh, hello, sort of fella he had been for most of his life. All of a sudden it was, oh, God's amazing, I love a bit of God in the morning, all that sort of shit, yeah?
Yeah, that sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, and for most people, their image of Harry Secombe wasn't, it was, blah, like that, and I think that was shit, that cheapened Secombe.
Well, yeah, but we're talking about things that cheapen television, not what cheapened Secombe.
So we're not allowed to discuss Harry Secombe?
Can do. Actually, that's quite a good name for a TV show, Cheap and Secombe.
Cheap and Secombe, starring Bob Carroll Jeez and Spit the Dog.
Yeah, we could, basically, Bob Carroll Jeez and Spit the Dog have to find a new way to Cheap and Secombe each week.
Yeah, so, go on and Spit, get his underpants down. Oh, that'd be brilliant, actually. I'd have watched that. Especially if that special guest, ladies and gentlemen, Barbara Dixon and Elaine Page.
And a new location each week. So, this week, coming from Norwich on Cheap and Secombe.
Yeah, we attempt to pour manure all over Harry Secombe just as he's coming out of Woolworths.
the army. I'm just here to say, this is a Watch With Mothers new podcast. They're great. Now I'm off to eat somebody's hay. Goodbye.
Right, my last one.
Ended a bit abruptly, that last one, didn't it, really?
Well, there wasn't really anywhere to go with it.
No, I mean, Pete was wrong, really, because he didn't grasp that it's cheapening the medium and not cheapening Harry Secombe.
Yeah, it's cheap in television, not cheap in Secombe.
Yeah. So what he actually managed to do was cheapen the site. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, cheers for that.
You bum dangler.
This one definitely cheapened the medium.
Right, go on.
This was suggested by me.
You? What, Swine's Head?
Yep, Swine's Head.
Is that your name?
This one. That's my name on the site, yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Mel.
Hello, Mel.
I offer the frankly obvious suggestion of The Hopefuls on the Word.
Oh, I didn't like the word. There was wasn't there a fella that had a load of toenails and a sandwich?
There possibly was. I remember the young man who kissed a granny.
Yeah, that was one that they always seem to be showing on compilation shit. The list shows, isn't it? Yeah. Was it a fella in a bath of shit or something? It was
all that
horrible.
Kind of stuff. People drinking piss, all that
yeah.
sort of rubbish.
And the point of it was, oh, I'll do anything to be on TV. Well done. So for the rest of your life, you're known as that bloke that ate a shit sandwich on The Word in the 1990s. You didn't then go on to have a TV career. It's not like now, you know, where you can effectively go on TV, eat a shit sandwich, and then you're a millionaire in OK Magazine or whatever.
Well, I would say that's inaccurate. Maybe it was like that 5 years ago, but Big Brother's kind of proving that they come out to a really lacklustre round of applause, don't they, really?
It's because nobody's watching Big Brother anymore. I think Channel 4, yeah, I mean, they are now flogging a dead horse. Nobody is watching Big Brother. Nobody's talking about it. The papers are saying nothing about it.
They're milking a spent cash cow, perhaps.
Exactly. They've got a teat. A spent old udder, and they're trying to squeeze the last drops of rancid milk from it.
It's like a raw niplet.
A niplet? What the fuck's a niplet?
It's a raw niplet that's only using a mixture of blood and pus.
Is that what hangs off of an udder?
I don't know. I think I might have made that word up. But
yeah, I mean, to me it's showing a fundamental lack of knowledge of dairy farming. I don't think they're called niplets.
I think it's showing a playful and frankly, expert way with the English language.
Well, by your having no knowledge of farming. I know loads about farming.
Well, I grew up next to a farm, well, so I guess that I know more about farming than you.
I'm sorry. My stepfather was a large breed veterinary surgeon. I lived on a farm for 3 months at near Kendal in the Lake District. So up yours, I win that.
Well, you know, whether your stepfather was a large breed or not is of no concern.
No, he wasn't a large breed. He was one of those vets that had his hand up a cow's arse every day.
Right.
You know them, like off of James Herriot. Well, anyway.
Don't talk about your mother like that.
I'm not talking about my mother like that. How dare you? No, that was below the belt. That was below the belt. Anyway, I used to live in a caravan on a farm, and every morning I was surrounded by cows. So therefore, I know everything there is to know about cows. You, on the other hand, lived next door to a farm. Yes, I agree with that, but it was a farm that grew wheat. There was no cows involved. And how do I know that? Because I saw it with my own eyes.
There was a cow field right next door to my house.
There
were you blind?
No, there was no cows. I don't remember any cows. Oh, actually, there was cows.
There were cows.
Yeah, there
were.
No,
hallucinating.
You're right. Yeah, there was. There was cows. I'd completely forgotten about that. You had a cow shed and everything, didn't you? With cows.
And those cows had niplets.
They didn't have niplets. They had teats. This is Colin Taylor again. They don't have niplets. There's no such thing as a niplet. Is there any such thing as a niplet? She doesn't know. Well, you're no bloody use.
Conclusive proof there that there's niplets in the world.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not happy about this. Yes, all right, you live near cows, fair enough, but you don't know anything about cows. I know all there is to know about cows. In fact, I could probably grow cows. I know loads about them.
Well, if you knew loads about them, you'd know that you can't just grow them out of nothing.
Do you mean you can? Hello, hold on, I'm getting conclusive proof here.
breed cows, not grow cows.
What do you mean breed? No, it's grow. You grow cows. You grow
they're
them.
They're not a crop, are they?
Eh?
You breed cows.
Oh, I thought you grew cows.
So the hopefuls pretty much, it was the template, wasn't it, for modern reality television?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Right, is that that?
I'm sorry, I've lost interest because of your claim. You know loads about cows. You don't know anything about cows.
I know shit loads about them. They eat cud. They sit down when it's raining.
They don't eat cud. They chew cud. Ah, yeah,
same thing.
And that's a load of rubbish. Cows lie down before it rains. My ass. I've seen loads of cows lying down and it then hasn't rained. That's like my grandma. She says all black cows are bulls. Where's she got that from?
Yeah, but the ones that you saw that sat down when it was raining, it was probably raining underground.
It was raining underground, yeah, because you get a lot of rain underground where there's no clouds. So far you've displayed you're completely bloody ignorant of cows, and you're ignorant of how weather works, geography, this basic geography. It does not rain underground. Cows have not got nipplets, or whatever you called them. Yeah, nipplets. They've not got them. They've got teats, which hang off of udders. And I know this because I've been to Cumbria loads.
Yeah, and you've grown loads of cows.
I've grown cows. No, I said I could grow a cow. Up yours!
So, on to the last one. Take it away, Napoleon.
Right, my final one is Janet Street Porter and the Rise of Youth TV, which I've just sort of realised we've already covered with the Marjorie. What was her name again?
Who?
Madoobadoos.
Makita Oliver.
Her, yes. We've sort of covered it, but my thing is that because Janet Street Porter was completely and utterly obsessed with the now, with youth and all that sort of shit, we now have a kind of TV style that's rushed, is flavour of the month. I mean, E4 and BBC 3, to my mind, are she's responsible for that kind of programming. Right. You know, it's crap, kids like it, yeah, fuck it, let's get it out in 8 minutes. Oh, it's boring now, fuck it, let's move on to something else. That's the sort of thing Janet Street Porter promoted. And I find it's now starting to creep into, it's a proper TV that grown-ups watch.
It was Network 7, wasn't it, her first
I think
thing.
It was. Was it? Did that also have Normski on it?
Yeah, the dance music show thing.
Yeah, and was it Def Jam or some shit like that? It was all shapes and colours and people going, yeah, woo, yeah, all that. Now, that has started creeping out. Have you seen Bangos of Theory?
No.
Oh, it's this bloody, it's a science show, but it's a science show shown on BBC One at 7:30, you know, of a weekday. And it's almost like science for idiots. It's like a Blue Peter show, but a Blue Peter show for infantilised morons. It's just these three people who, they can't present science in a grown-up way. They have to present it as if they're presenting science to three-year-olds. It's like children's television, but for adults.
I've seen a bit of one of them. It's got the prototype Christine Bleakley in it, hasn't it?
Yeah, the Irish girl who used to be on Rise.
Yeah,
the shit Rise.
She's very attractive.
Well, she's quite attractive, but is she as attractive as Sexy Jess?
Who's Sexy Jess?
Sexy Jess!
No. Who?
The Hustle woman.
What Hustle?
The real Hustle. You've got a fat Scotch man,
right,
who's going bald. You've got a bloke who looks like, well, he just looks like a bloke. And then you've got Sexy Jess. And what they do is they con the British public out of their money.
Yeah, I've been unfortunate enough to watch The Real Hustle once or twice. I think I know who you're talking about, but she doesn't come into it.
It's not really hard to figure out who I'm talking about, considering there's only three people on the show and two of them are men.
Well, yeah, but I didn't know her name was Sexy Jess.
That's her name, it's Sexy Jess. I think that's what she was christened as. I name this child Sexy Jess.
That's quite a disturbing scenario.
It is, really, because it's assuming that the mother and father have looked at their new child and thought, yep, that's going to be damn sexy when it grows up. Let's call her Sexy Jess.
And the vicar's bought into that as well.
Yeah, the vicar's thinking, ooh, hello. That's actually, yeah, it does slide very quickly into the world of the sinister. Because you're thinking, how do you know? How can you tell that a baby... But as far as I know, anyway, she was christened Sexy Jess off of The Real Hustle.
Well, I prefer the prototype Christine Bleakley off Bango's The Theory, but this is nothing to do with our sexual proclivities.
Yeah, but has anything to been of this podcast been to do with the subject we're supposed to be talking about?
Well, no, but whose fault's that?
That's not my fault. You can't blame me. I didn't do any of this. No.
Janet Street Porter.
Right, Janet Street Porter. Do you like Janet Street Porter?
No, I can't stand her.
No, nobody can. Everybody hates her. You know, I'm sorry, yeah, all right, fair enough. You know, I too suffer from foghorn voice-itis. But even me, I pale into insignificance compared to her when she starts on.
Well, you have at least some kind of tone to your voice, and it changes. You know, you've got different registers, where she's just one bleating, non-stop, multi-decibel wall of pain.
Exactly, and she's isn't she about 80 years old, and yet still considers herself 20? She's one of those type of characters. She wears youth clothing. She has youth hair. Well, I'm sorry, but do you remember when 60-year-olds used to have a bit of dignity?
I do, and it's no surprise, really, that she gets on so well with Gordon Ramsay, because they're both bolshy, bolshy bastards.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. Gordon Ramsay's a wanker.
Yeah, he truly is a wanker, and Janet Street Porter is pretty much the female version of him, except she probably can't cook as well.
Well, no, and she's of that lot, isn't she? She appears on that lot shows, like the Newsnight Review. Isn't she on there a few times?
I don't think they get her in that often, do they? I've not seen her on there, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they could probably only stand about 8 minutes of her once a month. Well, you know, Janet, what do you think of this? I think this is bloody awful! Blah, 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 blah! Jesus!
Yeah, you'd need ear surgery.
You would need bloody ear surgery. She's a fucking nightmare. And I mean, you know, she doesn't... all of her opinions, for instance, everything has to be new with her. So, of course, you know, as far as Janet Street Porter's concerned, she would demolish absolutely every building that was built before about, I don't know, 1970 and replace it all with brand new shiny shit, regardless of whether the stuff had quality or not. And she's all for that.
And statues of Normski.
Yeah, that's right. If Janet Street Porter had her way, we'd live in somewhere that looked like the centre of fucking Bradford, full of statues of Normski.
Right, I think we can wrap up there.
Fucking Normski! Yeah, right, anyway, well, yeah, I think we've covered that really badly, quite frankly. I think listening, you know, when we listen back to this, we'll think, no, no.
What, as in that was a low point, or...?
No, not that was a low point. I think, you know, some of the things that we said, they will be recorded for the ages. Mm. Ah, I agree with you there. People will say as they listen. But on the whole, you know, if you were to listen to this podcast thinking, right, I want to be educated about the cheapening of television, you'd come away from this thinking, the lying bastards.
We haven't told any lies, surely, have we?
Well, yeah, but we told a central lie, which is that we were going to spend the last hour discussing cheapened television, and we've done nothing of the kind. Do you think that arguing about cow's udders is what we were meant to be talking about?
Well, I think the casual or even the regular listener will realise that I was trying to steer the conversation back and you kept dancing around like some crazy jitterbug.
So yet again, it's my fault. That's what you're concluding from this. Yet again, I've buggered it up. Thanks a lot.
That's about the sum total, yeah.
Right. Well, I suppose, should we do the ending?
All right, well, it's been a pleasure, Napoleon.
Well, has it?
Yeah,
hey, everybody's happy except the listener.
Exactly, quid's in. Well, for now we'll say goodbye. There'll probably be another one of these at the end of the week because we skipped one.
We did, yeah, sorry about that, but that was your fault.
Yeah, that was the listener's fault.
No, it was your fault.
That was Napoleon's fault.
No, it wasn't my fault. What did I say to you last week? Let's do one of these. Let's record this. Oh, no, I can't do that. What about today? No, I can't do that. How's that my fault?
And then how about we do it on Monday?
Ah, oh, that's right. Throw that in. Throw that spanner in the works. So I do one wrong thing. You do eight wrong things. I do one wrong thing. Yeah, look at me snoring. Up yours.
Oh, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers.